Said I was going to preach on Asaph and the message that I have preached here before, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I want you to look with me in God's Word to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, in the honor of God's Word, I ask that you'd stand to your feet. I love the blessed book of God, don't you? God's holy Word, the Bible. And you think of the stories like Brother Kidwell was speaking there just a moment ago, and just realize we have a treasure in this book. We find great victories. And the same God that took care of the children of Israel then and took care of even Gentile nations and took care of those New Testament believers is the same God that can take care of us. And we look at this psalm, the psalm of Asaph, we see some great things, and I want us to read it together. The Bible says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. And thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy countenance, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I want to preach tonight on Asaph's anxiety. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love, for the time that we have to come before thee. And I pray that you'll help us tonight to hear from thee. Lord, help me as I preach. I pray that we'd go away encouraged and helped, strengthened, not because of me, but because of thee. I pray if there be one here tonight that does not know you as Savior, that this would be the night they recognize himself as a sinner, and they'll see your love for them as they have an understanding of how you died on the cross so that they could have everlasting life in heaven. Lord, I pray for those of us that have that assurance. I pray we'd be encouraged and strengthened by thy word tonight. And we'll give you the glory now for all that's accomplished. We love you, Lord. We want to thank you for loving us. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When we read about Asaph, I want you to know we're reading about a man that was a good man. He was a man that loved God, and we find his writings here in the Psalms. He wrote Psalm 50. Then he wrote Psalm 73 through Psalm 83. In other words, 73, 74, 75, all the way up to Psalm 83. He was a musical man, and he was a seer. He was one of the leaders of David's choir. No doubt he composed music, he led music, and he encouraged people, and he encouraged David with great music. He was noted as a seer, which is a prophet, a beholder of a vision. And so we understand that here's a man that was gifted, a man that knew God, a man that loved God, a man that was a servant of the Lord. But we find in this particular psalm and some other ones that you may read, we find that Asaph's going through some troublesome times. He's down in maybe what you would say a valley in his life. He's having some things that brought some questions about to him. And I want you to understand that we need to realize that God never promised us that there would be no storms in our life. But God did promise us that He would be our shelter in the time of storm. God never said that everything would go just exactly right after we got saved. But God did say He would never leave us nor forsake us. So we have that hope and that promise and that assurance. And Asaph is learning a lesson about things just like this. In verse number 1, we see that the Bible says that truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. So we see how Asaph would recognize the power of God in the life of Israel and those that had a clean heart before God. He understood some great things, but then in verses 2 and 3, it's like his thought pattern gets messed up and he begins to contrast the wicked in himself, and he has this shock in his life that's been dealt to his faith. And he says in verse number 3, as he contrasts the prosperity of the wicked, and then in verse 13 he says, I've washed my hands in innocency. In verse 14 he says, I've been plagued all the day long and chastened every morning. And then he looks and he says, the wicked are prospering, but said, I feel like what I've done is all in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. I'm dealing with all these problems, and I have all these things that are plaguing me day and night. And he was getting tired and frustrated. And there's no doubt that there's many people today that are just frustrated at all that we see. It seems like the wicked are winning, and the righteous are suffering. There's a battle going on in Asaph's soul. He belongs to God, but he's fighting the battle that all of us as human beings have to fight at times. Verse number 2, he says, but as for me, he talks about the Lord in verse number 1, but then he starts talking about himself, and he contrasts himself with God, who is good. He says, but as for me, and then notice what he says, my feet were almost gone. You know, sometimes when our thought gets wrong, when the errors of the head and the heart will begin to affect our conduct, when we start thinking wrong and we start looking wrong and we start getting our minds on the wrong things, then our conduct's gonna be wrong. He says, my feet were almost gone. And when men doubt the integrity of God and the sincerity of God, then their own integrity will begin to waver. And that's what was happening here. Here's a man that knows God. Here's a man that God has used to compose music. Here's a man that was the leader in David's cabinet of people. Here's a man that was a seer, a prophet of God. And he's looking around and he says, I've washed my hands in innocency. I'm tired. I've been plagued all the day long. And the wicked, they're prospering. But look at me. He says, I'm starting to slip. I feel like I can't get anything accomplished. I feel like nothing right is happening. And his integrity is being challenged. And he goes on and says in verse number 2, my steps well nigh slipped. In other words, he can make no progress in his life. His walk for God is like he's walking in one place and sometimes even slipping backwards. And I think every one of us have felt this at times in our life. We felt like we're trying to go forward, but it seems like the more we try to go forward, the more we feel like we're going backward. And we look and we see all around us, it seems like those that don't love the Lord, those that have no relationship with God, it seems like they can just continue to go on and continue to march on. And we begin to look and we begin to say, why, God? Why does things like this happen? Why is it that we're struggling so much and these people aren't struggling? We can understand the anxiety that Asaph has, can't we? Can't we identify with it tonight? We can realize what's going on. Then verse number 3, he says, for I was envious at the foolish. It's a terrible thing to be envious at all. The Bible teaches us that we're not to envy, but when we're envious at the foolish, it's tragedy, isn't it? He said, I was envious at the foolish. He says in verse number 3, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, he looked and he said he was only thinking of what was going on. And as he was thinking this, he wasn't thinking about their future. He was just seeing what was happening. He was realizing that they were prospering in their life and it seemed like everything was going well with them, and he was struggling. He was slipping. His feet were almost gone. And not only were they almost gone, he seemed like he just kept slipping backwards. He was trying to do right, trying to live right, trying to be right, but it seemed like he was walking on ice and he just couldn't go forward. But there's going to be a time in just a few verses we're going to see how he realized they may have been prosperous now, but their end was terrible. Tonight we need to realize we may not have much of this world, but we have a bright future. And if I didn't have anything but God, I'd have everything I need. Dear friends, tonight we need to realize this. We need to realize that if we have the Lord, we have all that we need. And so I want to break this down in these next few verses together, and I want to be quick about this. So I hope that you'll listen and get a hold of this. I want you to see, first of all, he saw the sinners. He saw the sinners. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. For there are no bands in their death. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish. Very quickly, I want us to understand what Asaph is saying. As he's looking and he sees the sinners, he begins to see that it seems like that nothing seems to affect them. There's no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. He says, they're not in trouble as other men. He's looking and saying, I'm in trouble and it seems like nothing's going right for me. But they're prospering and they're marching forward. And then he goes on and he says, neither are they plagued like other men. Boy, I tell you, Asaph was having a pity party, was he not? Asaph was having this time. He was seeing the sinners, and he began to say, it seems like the sinners are doing a whole lot better than me, God. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. In other words, their garment was pride and violence. These were sinful men. And Asaph says, I'm tired of this. It seems like nothing's going right for me, and everything's going right for them. And it says, their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish. In other words, I'm struggling to pay the bills. I'm struggling to have food on the table. I'm struggling to deal with all the issues of life. And I look over here, and here's people that are living wickedly and ungodly, and it seems like they have it all. They can pay their bills. They have food on the table, have cars in the garage. They have everything. It's just not fair, you know? Maybe they had chariots in the stalls, you know, in those days. And I don't know. And they had all kinds of servants. But you understand, I can see what Asaph is saying. Because we try to live right and we try to live holy. And there are people that cheat their way through life. And it seems like they have everything. And they have prosperity. And they have all kinds of things. And sometimes you look and you think, just for one day I'd like to be like them. Just for one day I'd like to have their kind of money. Just for one day, I'd like to have what it is they have. But when you really look, you have so much more than they have if you have the Lord. He saw the sinners. The second thing, he saw their sinfulness. He saw the things they were doing. Notice what the Bible says in verse 8 and 9. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. So they're corrupt. In other words, they're rotten. They're depraved. These are wicked people. He sees not only that they're sinners, he sees their sinfulness. He sees the things that they're doing. He says, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. You know, they're always better than others. They're always putting down the poor. Spurgeon said in his commentary that they work them like horses and feed them like dogs. And we see people doing things just like that, don't we? They speak loftily. In other words, when they speak, they expect everybody to listen. They expect everybody to stop what it is they're doing, what they're saying, and listen to what it is they have to say because they're worthy to be heard. That's what Asaph is saying. He's seeing their sinfulness. And the world seems to stop and stand in awe of them. And Asaph is so troubled by these things. And then he goes on and says in verse number 9, they set their mouth against the heavens. They speak against God Himself. And he's saying, Lord, how can you allow this to happen? I'm trying to speak for you. They're speaking against you. They're prospering. I'm slipping. I don't have it. They've got it. And their tongues walk through the earth. And they're always finding people. This means they're always finding people to put down. Nobody is free from the lashing out of their tongue and the words that come from their lips. We're beginning to understand some things and we're beginning to see our life sometimes. We begin to look and we begin to say things like, you know, I'm trying to do right and be right, and it seems like others, they cheat and they get by with it. They never get caught. Sometimes you want to find yourself and you say, boy, it'd be just to cheat a little bit right here. You find yourself saying, boy, if I could just... That temptation's there because Satan's real. And we're beginning to see what Asaph's going through. He's just tired of seeing the wicked prosper and he trying to live right to seemingly be at a standstill or even going backwards. And then the third thing is he sees the sorrow of the saints. I think this affected him so much. The Bible says, therefore his people return in verse number 10. His people, God's people return hither. And the water of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there no knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So he's watching him. And not only is it himself, but he's watching other saints. I'm telling you, his anxiety is building, it's growing. He sees the sinners. He sees their sinful condition. He watches the things that they're doing. But then he looks over and he sees these saints and it says, his people return hither. God's people are running to his throne for shelter, and they're always coming with complaints of the persecutions that they endure from the ungodly. You know, and you know that's what we do sometimes. And Asaph is saying, I'm not the only one complaining here, God. I'm not the only one going through this. It's not fair for me, but it's not fair for them. People are coming to you and people are doing this. And the Bible says, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And so we realize that they're loved by God, but they have this bitter cup and they have to drain that cup. They're grieved to see the enemy of God so high and themselves so low. And they just think it's not fair. He sees the sorrow of the saints. But what's happening here is he's getting his eyes on everything but the right thing. He's getting his eyes on everything but what he ought to have his eyes on. Because when we start looking at the world and we start looking at the circumstances and the situations, we would be saying the same thing that Asaph is saying. It's not fair, God. They seem to be doing good and we're struggling. They seem to be fine and we're fighting it. They seem like everybody listens to them and nobody listens to us. We hand that gospel tract out to somebody and they throw it to the side, but they sit there and they talk about their barroom experiences and people sit around and laugh at them. And Lord, sometimes it's just not fair. And then we see all these other saints that are trying to do the work of God and live for God, and they're fighting the same fights and going through the same battles that we're going through. And then he reveals his sad state. Notice what he says. We've already talked about these verses, but in verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. Think about that verse. It's just vain that I've trusted you. This is to the point, and we get to this point in our lives sometimes. I've cleansed my heart in vain. Dear friends, we're going to discover in just a few moments that it's not vain when you trust the Lord. But he says, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. In other words, I did what I thought was right, Lord. I was innocent in this. But all the day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Before this was ever recorded, and Asaph was writing these things, he was saying, you know, I can't even speak this in public But then God allowed it to be preserved for us, and God allowed it to be penned in our Holy Scripture. He said, I can't say this because it would be too offensive to your children. It'd be too offensive to the generation to come. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In other words, these things were getting to be too much for him. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt this way? Let's just be honest tonight. If you've ever just felt like the wicked are winning and we're just struggling and trying to make it through, have you ever been to that place? If you have, say amen. I think many of us have been there. But then I want you to see the next thing. It looked like all was lost. It looked like he was trying to live for the Lord in vain. It looked like the struggles were just too much and he was going to throw in the towel. But then I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Oh, there it is. He said, I've looked, I'm going backwards, they're going forward. Nobody listens to me, everybody listens to them. I try to talk good about people and right about people, they put people down. I try to treat people the way that they ought to be treated, and if they do something, I pay them fairly. They don't pay them right, they don't do anything right. They fight against me, they fight against us, they laugh at you, they mock at you, God. They make fun of your name, they make fun of the heavens, they make fun of everything, and I'll tell you, it seems like it's just not fair. And then he goes on and he says, if I were to say this in public, then it would tear apart the generation of thy children. And he says, when I thought to know this, it was just too painful. I am almost overcome. As a matter of fact, I am overcome with this. But then he goes into the sanctuary. He goes into a place, maybe a physical place, because he goes into something, maybe not a physical place, but it was a place where God can speak. And when he gets in there, he remembers his faith and he begins to understand some things about his end and their end, and he begins to realize that everything's going to be all right. He may not have anything in this world. There may be one soul that listens to anything he has to say. There may not be anybody trust the Lord that he witnesses to. He may not have a whole lot of money. He may not have a whole lot of possessions, but he has God and he has all that he needs. And all of a sudden, the pity party starts turning into a praise party, and it starts turning into a party where he realizes that he has a greater life ahead. Dear friends, tonight what we need to realize is the world may be falling apart around us. It may seem like the wicked are winning, but we are on the winning side. It doesn't matter what the world may throw at us. It doesn't matter what the devil may throw at us. It doesn't matter what may happen around us. It doesn't matter if all of our possessions are taken away. They can take everything away, but they can't take God away. They can't take our Jesus away from us. The day you trusted the Lord Jesus, everything from that day forward was in His hands. His heart gazed within the veil. He goes into the sanctuary. And the Bible says, when I got there, then he says, then I understood I therein. So as he reveals his sad state, the next thing is he goes to the sanctuary of God. And then the sixth thing is he understands there the sinner's end. It seems like they're winning. It seems like all is well. It seems like they're prospering. But notice what the Bible says in verse 17, the last part then, understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in a slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. They are brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. And as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. It looked like they were living in the grandeur of the world, but it was the closest thing to heaven many of these wicked people was ever going to see. And he realized that while they may have a lot of the worldly goods, Asaph says, I've got so much more than what they have. His anxiety changes, and he begins to realize that his end is better than their end. And sometimes we get to that place in our life and we feel like, I try to do right and I just can't get it done. Try to live right and nobody wants to listen. try to help people and nobody seems to care. But the wicked, they just seem to have their way. They run over people. They mock people. They make fun of people. Make fun of God, the things of God. Make fun of church. Make fun of my faith. But their end is destruction. The Bible says that thou castest them down in destruction. They're brought into desolation, as in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors. You know what that's saying? That's not their end. That means their life now. There are a lot of people that are fooling you and fooling their way through life. And they seem like they're so happy because they have so much control. Because it seems like they can do whatever it is they want to do. But they're filled with terror. There's no peace. You ever met somebody that's filthy rich? I haven't either. But I remember hearing a story about Eddie Murphy saying that there's nothing in life that can buy him happiness. Millionaire multiple times. Seen how many athletes today make millions of dollars and they're always getting arrested because they're trying to take drugs. They can't find it. It's not about the money. It's not about what they have. It's about who they need to have. But you find those that know the Lord, and that some of them may even be wealthy. And one of them, I think, is Tony Dungy. You look at a man like him. Here's a man that knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior. A good man, and I believe a godly man. And I begin to look at him, and I begin to see some things. I begin to realize some things. Here's a man that has wealth, there's no doubt. But here's a man that the wealth doesn't seem to matter to him. He don't care about how much money he has, but he cares about giving the Lord to other people. A few weeks ago, you know, he put something in the paper as a testament and some testimonies, and it went into all the Tampa Tribunes that were sent out. I mean, he took his money and he paid for that and he put it in there. You know, look, it may have been scriptures. It may have not been the version that we would use, and it wasn't. But he has enough care that he takes that and he does something with it. Just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're bad people. But he's soft-spoken. Now, you think about how he runs his football teams. He doesn't curse them out. As a matter of fact, he don't allow cursing. Think about it. What an amazing thing. And I look and I see somebody like that and I say, there are good people out there that do have influence. But then there's normal people that don't have the money, that don't have all that influence, but we're trying to do right. And sometimes we get a little bit discouraged, we get a little bit frustrated, and we begin to think, how come it seems like they're making it through life and everything's all right, and we're struggling our way through life? Well, they're just enjoying all these things now, and there are many of them's not even enjoying it. Just this past few weeks, do you know how many superstars and the entertainment world and the professional sports world has been arrested for certain things? Cheating at what they do, beating up on somebody, taking drugs. You know why? They're looking for happiness. They're looking for something to fill that void. And they're looking everywhere but the right place. And they're living with terror. That's what it's talking about here. They are utterly consumed with terrors. You would think they have everything, but they're not happy at all. And then you look at us. We may make it just payday to payday, or we may struggle through life sometimes. We may not have the best of everything, but we know we have the Lord. And we know that we have everything that we need. And then finally, he remembers his salvation. The Bible teaches us in verse 21 through 28, thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Isn't that good to know? I'm telling you, dear friends, we are continually with the Lord now that we belong to Him. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Now look, how much better could it be than that? Their end was destruction. Their life was filled with terrors. The enemies of God were facing the terror of God and the destruction of eternity. And Asaph looks and says, I feel like I'm slipping now. I feel like I'm fighting now. I feel like I'm going through all these things. But when he met face to face with God in the sanctuary, he began to realize their end and his end, and his tune began to change. And he began to say, Lord, I've got so much more than they have. You're with me all the time. I'm with you all the time. You're guiding me by your right hand. You're there to counsel me, and then you're going to guide me through this life, and one day you're going to receive me to glory. I'm telling you what, I'd rather have the Lord than anything else in this world. I may have everything in my life taken away from me. My house may be taken, my home may be taken away, our automobiles may be taken away, my life may be taken away, but my Jesus will never be taken away. And dear friends, as long as He's in me and I'm in Him, and that's going to be forever, everything's going to be all right. I don't know all that's going to happen in the days ahead, but I know that while the wicked may seem to be winning, I'm already the winner because I belong to Him. The Bible goes on and says, "When whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." Here it was. You know before what he's saying, I don't want them to listen to me. Nobody wants to listen to me. But to be honest with you, really all I desire is thee. As long as I'm doing right by you, Lord, I know everything's going to be okay. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength in my heart and my portion forever. There's your strength, isn't it? Your strength to make it through this life. The Bible goes on and says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go horn from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." He remembers his salvation. I'm reminded of Job when he was going through all the persecutions and these people were coming and trying to give him all these different answers and tell him why all of his problems were happening. And he said in Job chapter number 19 and verse number 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." I'm reminded of the prodigal son who had the Lord Jesus in his life. I believe that it's a picture of somebody that had the Lord. He had the Father in his life, but he went out and sowed his wild oats, and he wasted all of his worldly goods on riotous living. And he was there in the hog pen getting ready to slop and to feed the hogs. And the Bible says he came to himself. And he says, "I'll go and just be a servant in my Father's house." And dear friends, so many of us find ourselves sometimes willing to serve the hogs and to lower ourselves when we ought to realize that in our Father's house there's enough room for us to be there and Him to take care of us. And he goes back thinking that he's just going to be a servant. But when he gets there, he's still a son. That's a beautiful story, isn't it? And then I'm reminded of the great end of all. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter number 13, when the false beast and the Antichrist is setting up their kingdom. And chapter 13, verse number 3, the scripture says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered at the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave the power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast." And this is what they said. These are these people in the time of the tribulation. They said, "Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" It looked like another time that the wicked was winning. If there was another time here, we see in the end days, in the time of the tribulation, where we won't be there. But I just want to remind you of who the Lord is and His power and His might and His ability. And there was people all around the world, and they were falling down at the feet of the beast, at the image of the beast, and they were worshiping Him. And they said, "Who's like the beast, and who's able to make war with Him?" And the answer is found in chapter 14 and verse number 1. John says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. Who's able to make war? Who's able to defeat the beast? I want to tell you who's able. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that came into the world to bring salvation to the world. The Lamb of God that was slain upon the cross of Calvary. The Lamb of God that was buried in a borrowed tomb and on the third day rose up and defeated death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb of God that soon after ascended back up into heaven. And the Lamb of God that one day shall come and catch His bride away and gather the church out of this world. The same Lamb. That's who. Well, let me ask you this today. Who's able to withstand in this day? The followers of the Lamb. That's who. That's what it says. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. If we'll follow God with our lives, and we'll do God's will with our lives, we're on the winning side. It's going to be okay. We're winners, not losers. Asaph began saying, it's all bad. But he ended up saying, no, for me, it's all good. I may not have much in this world, but I have all I need. And tonight, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, do not fear what man may do. We need to live right according to His will. We need to look right, looking unto Jesus. And we need to know that He's going to come and get us. Just on time, because He's our Savior. He's the lover of our soul. We're His children. I hope you're encouraged tonight by this. I know I am. I know I've preached this here. I don't know. I've probably preached it a dozen times. I can't get every time I go reading through Psalm and I get to this, I think I've got to preach that again. I may not preach it for anybody but me, but I need it occasionally, because sometimes I look around and I see churches that aren't even Christian churches, and it seems like they're just booming and all seems to be going well and people are flocking to them. Then I look at somebody as a church that's trying to stand for what's right and what's true, and I'm reminded it don't always look so good, but because we are His children, everything's going to be all right. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. Help us tonight as we consider these things. Lord, may we realize all is well for Your children. I pray for the ones that may be here tonight that's never trusted You as Savior. I pray that this night they would realize that their life without You is filled with terror. Their end is destruction. But their life with You is heaven and peace while we're here. And Lord, as discouraged as we may be, help us to remember our end and the promise that we have ahead. And Lord, may we be faithful to You all the days of our life. Of course, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What page, Brother Chris?
160.